Well, I think a few weeks back, and we got started on a thought of a situation that kind of took place here on a thought, and that's where a lot of problems start with, the thoughts. And my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, if you consider all that. So I started addressing it, and you know what? I may be addressing a particular situation that was here, but at the same time, we've kind of in that, we've unveiled some truths here that are pretty cool. I mean, it helps you understand some things concerning Paul's ministry and who he's writing to and things of that nature. So I was not joking. It'd be a little bit of a repeat. There are going to be verses we're going to go over because it embodies the lion's share of the study. But there will be some things that I'm going to amend to it and that we haven't gone over. And I hope it just broadens your understanding to where you can comprehend it a good bit better. Anyhow, with that said, let's start in Galatians chapter 3. And so the topic pretty much has been Paul's writings. But in particular concerning Paul's writings, there are times that he uses patriarchs or kings or prophets of old time. And you have to understand what portion of that individual Paul's referring back to that he's incorporating in his writings and what that is about. If he mentions David, and he does, you can't go back and take the whole life of David and believe that Paul is writing about his entire life. You have to take what Paul's specifically talking about, David, and understand that portion of David. There's nothing wrong with going back and reading about David and understanding his life. The same way with Abraham. You have to understand when he goes back and touches on Abraham, why is he going to that particular place? For instance, in Galatians 3, verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, you know, out of that writing, he only brought up two events or two accounts, two verses concerning Abraham. So why would I go back and study Abraham and all the relationship God had with Abraham? And as I learn it, I drag it into the body of Christ and teach it as if Abraham is our forerunner. Folks, we already have a pattern. It's not Abraham. It's Paul. If you want to know a pattern, it's Paul. Well, you know what our pattern did? He went back and touched on Abraham. There had to be a reason. Well, I know what the reason is. All right, we have the body of Christ with the gospel. Well, he went to the regions of Galatia and preached the gospel. Galatia is in the Turkey, today's Turkey region. So he goes up there, he preaches the gospel. Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and he was raised again the third day, and you're saved, you're forgiven of your sins by faith in Christ. Galatians did that. He's got to write to them in chapter 1 and say, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto another gospel, which is not another, but there'd be some that pervert the gospel of Christ. And then he goes on harshly saying, if anybody preach, and even an angel, preach any other gospel unto you than that which I've preached unto you, let him be accursed. Right there tells me what the problem is at Galatia. Believers that were turned from a gospel unto another. Now, if I want to know what they were turned unto, I can continue to read Galatians to find it out. We're not going to do that. I'm just going to tell you. You can read later. Well, what were they turned to? They were turned back unto the law. And that's what he's addressing. Somebody came in behind Paul and said, I don't know if they said this verbatim, but something to the extent you can't just believe. You got to keep the law of Moses to be saved. So they turned from the gospel believing that now they've got to keep the law to be saved. So the premise of Paul's writings to the Galatians is based upon that. So keep that in mind. So when he quotes Abraham's account in verse 6, Galatians 3:6, think of it in that light. even as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. That account is back there in Genesis. Go ahead and turn back to Genesis and let's see what happened in Genesis there. Genesis chapter 15. In Genesis 15, Paul reaches back and quotes out of Genesis 15, but he only quotes one verse. So let's get a little more to see what led up to this. In Genesis 15, we're going to start with verse 4. There's already a child there. You're going to have a child, Abram. And he said, oh, this Eliezer of Damascus is my child. Nope, that's not it. Verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he, that's Abram, believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. So what did Abram do to get righteousness?
Believe.
Just believe. That's all he did. And what happened? He had righteousness accounted to him, right? So that is the portion of which Paul, in writing to the Galatians, is going back. Now, why would he do that? Why would Paul go back here to Genesis and pull Abram out and that particular account there in chapter 15 and address it over here during the dispensation of grace? Because he's using Abram Abraham as an example of God giving righteousness to an individual who did nothing but believe. Abraham's an interesting character because later Abraham believed the Lord and offered up Isaac. So guess who jumps into the picture? Over here, James jumps into the picture and he uses Abraham in that account of offering up Isaac, where his faith was made known by works, so his faith is not dead. Paul uses Abraham back here based upon Abraham just believing the Lord. Why? Because these Galatians over here that he's writing to, all they had to do was what? Believe on the Lord, and God would impute to them righteousness. So Abraham's just a figure of an example for them over here. Paul uses Abraham to the Galatians as an example so that he can help explain to them how they need to believe on the Lord, that he died for your sins, was buried, and raised again the third day. So now I know the gist of why verse 6 shows up there. Now, verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now, that's interesting. Now, this is what we covered, and I want to revisit this. So what we have is Abraham. Now, Abraham had Isaac, Jacob. So what we're going to do is kind of just go up like this and like this, and you have the seed here, the seed of Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob's name changed to Israel, 12 tribes, descendants from there. So there's a seed, starting with Abraham, going forth. Now, Paul says in verse 7, know ye therefore that they which be of faith. So we're going to put faith here. Those that are faith are the children of Abraham. With that said, turn to two passages. Look in Philippians chapter 3, whole Philippians 3. And we're going to go to that second. Get Philippians 3 and then turn to John chapter 8. But if you follow James, his writings, when he covers Abraham, you'd have to go beyond Genesis 15. Because James now is talking about him too, but it's after Abraham did something that he received the righteousness. So that's kind of a little bit further on, but no, that's a good point in the transfer of his name and all. All right, in John 8, look in verse 37. John 8, 37. The Jews are there before Christ. He's addressing Jews. Just to let you know, look in verse 57. This is the end of the little spiff they had there. Then said the Jews unto him, and I just read that to confirm what I told you, that the Jews are there. So we're going to back up as he is having conversation with these Jews. Verse 37. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word had no place in you. I speak that which I've seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. There are two fathers in verse 38. Verse 39. Then answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. Remember that statement. We were not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Boy, they're clinging to God and Abraham, right? 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You have your father, the devil. Then who is their father? Okay. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh the lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Well, we'll hold up there and it continues on to a point where they want to kill him. Well, the first thing he says in verse 37, you're Abraham's seed. So then I know who he is addressing there. He is addressing the physical descendants of Abraham. However, he begins to challenge this by saying a few things. For instance, verse 38, I speak that which I've seen with my father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. So there are two different fathers now brought into the picture. They answered and they said, Abraham is our father. And basically said, if Abraham was your father, you'd do what Abraham did. You'd do the same works, which would have to do with faith. Faith. And so they seek to kill him. And so, verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And then Jesus challenges that and said, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded out from him, on and on. So then he basically says who their father is, verse 44, he's a devil. And the lust of your father you'll do. He's a murderer from the beginning, bode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. These seed of Abraham are those that are after the flesh. In other words, they are biologically DNA, blood, born seed of Abraham. They come from the loins of Abraham. However, God's standard of them being a child of Abraham is not just a birthright. You see, they're there saying, we are the children of Abraham. Well, yeah, they're descendants from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the Lord's straightening them out. No, 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 no. You've got a father. And it's not Abraham. It's the devil. So, it has to do with their flesh. However, in this seed, there are those of faith. I told you to hold Philippians. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Look in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in what? The flesh. Remember this. The seed of Abraham, there are those that are in the flesh. And that's who the Lord was addressing in John chapter 8. Those in the flesh. Verse 4. For I might also have confidence in the flesh. Now watch this. If any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in flesh, I more. Now watch his layout of his flesh. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law of Pharisee, concerned in zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Was Paul a seed of Abraham? After the flesh he was. Right? Was he doing the works of his father? I mean, I read in Acts chapter 9, the Lord appears to him and says, great work, Saul! You are glorifying me. No, you know what he said? Why persecutest thou me? And he's a seed of Abraham. If any man have confidence in the what? Flesh. So, how was Paul removed out of that flesh? By believing in the Lord for righteousness. So Paul believed in the Lord by faith, and he was made the righteousness of God in Christ, right? He was made God's righteousness by faith in Christ, not in the flesh. That's why he addresses it in Philippians chapter 3. Turn back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of what?
Faith.
Not flesh. Faith. The same are the children of Abraham. Bingo. Now I know by God's standard, out of all the seed that came through time, even during the days of Paul, I know who God signifies is the children of Abraham. It is those which are of faith. That's who the children of Abraham are as far as God is concerned. If you're a descendant and you're after the flesh, you're of your devil. Now, with that said, get two passages of scriptures we're going to compare. Since you're near it, we're going to go to it second. Get Hebrews 12. We're going to Hebrews 12 second. Got Hebrews 12. 3, 2, 1. All right, Hebrews 12, now turn, hold that, turn to Isaiah, and go to Isaiah 53. Now this is where we're covering a little bit more than we did the past weeks. Y'all remember I told you that we're going to be adding to this. In Isaiah 53, we're going to read it first. Verse 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. That's a lot of hymns in that one verse, right? Who is the hymn? It's the prophecy of Jesus Christ. All right? Keep that in mind as we read. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, watch, smitten of God and afflicted. Was Jesus Christ smitten of God? You don't want to answer, do you? Didn't Isaiah prophesy that he is smitten of God? All right. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I'm interested in verse 5. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Hold that and go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Jesus Christ took the chastisement of the Father because he was a son. You remember John chapter 8, year of your father the devil? He says, they said, we be not born of fornication. What they're referring to is a man and woman not married, having sex, reproducing, the Lord saying, you are the product of that copulation, when he called them the children of their father, the devil. So he said, that's fornication. We're not children of fornication. As far as God's concerned, they are. The chastisement of God was never on them. Who was it on? John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, the apostles. It was on them where they were chastised. And if they're not chastised, they're bastards. They're illegitimate sons, as far as God's concerned. So, consequently, the Apostle Paul, who was Saul back here, fell in that category. Paul, prior to being saved, is the rubber stamp of what Israel was concerning disobedience to the Lord. If you want to go with a graph and see a spike in it, all you have to do is go right here. There's another spike coming later. That's after we're out of here, and that comes about mid-trib right there. And he's called the man of sin, and he's going to be another Jew. But we'll not go there. But here's a spike right here. It's Saul. He's a perfect example of confidence in the flesh being of the tribe of Benjamin. He's a descendant by blood, by birth. But as far as God's concerned, he's no part of it in the flesh. They had those that were of faith. So, those that are in the faith in Paul's time, they are the children of Abraham. Now, turn back to Galatians. See if we can kind of connect this a little bit. Galatians chapter 3. Same chapter, but a little further down. Because this is very important that we understand this. We're going to jump in, we're going to start 3:19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For had there been a law given, which could have given life, verily, righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture had concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should hereafter, afterwards be revealed. Now verse 23, I've heard people quote and quote and double quote for years. But before it came, we were kept under the law. Hold that and turn to Romans chapter 9. And Romans chapter 9, verse 1. Romans 9, verse 1. Paul writes to the Romans here in chapter 9, verse 1. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. You don't think Paul had a miserable life? All his prosperity, and I heard a guy claims to be a grace teacher, I don't know what he is, preaching to a congregation that we're familiar with about being happy. You should be happy. I'm like, you be gone. Be happy. Yeah. God never promised you to be happy, that he would make you happy. If he did, he would have done it for Paul, who deserved it. But that isn't what he said. I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the what?
The giving of the law.
Well, then who did God give the law to?
The Israelites.
Yeah, Israelites, right? Okay, go back to Galatians 3. Verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law. Who is the we? Gotta be Jews, right? Can anybody in here show me where God gave the law to Gentiles? To the nations? It's not in there. He gave it to the Jews. So, understanding that, read the verse with the understanding that he gave it to the Jews. Before faith came, we were kept under the law. Well, that must have been the Israelites according to the flesh. Shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. I know now, folks, we just uncovered something here. We have uncovered who Paul's writing to when he writes to the Galatians. He's writing to Jews. You weren't kept under the law. I hear preachers all the time, they read this and they go, we were under the law, but now in Christ we're not under the law. We never were under the law. We were sinners of the Gentiles, Paul says. We were children of disobedience. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience who deserve the wrath of God. That's who the Gentiles were. He gave the law to Israel. They came out of 400 years in Egypt. They had picked up in 400 years all of the ways of Egypt. So consequently, when they came out, there's a book that Moses wrote to tell them how to live. So when you go in there and it's instructing them what to eat and what not to eat, he has to do it because of what they were eating and not eating in Egypt. When he instructs them on how to perform sex and how not to, he's got to write it because all of that was happening in Egypt. All of the writings there instructs them in the way God would have them to go. They were under the law. They were kept under the law. And when they got it and read it, they saw the offense of their sins before God. So God had within the law the atonement and the blood sacrifices for those sins. And that was the process until the faith came, which is Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, as he told these Galatians, was buried and raised again. That's the gospel. So, they're not under that law anymore. They're in Christ. They have righteousness. As Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. They believe God, and it's counted them for righteousness. But he's writing to the Jews. So when you see you or we or us in the next few verses, we know who it is. We don't incorporate it that he's writing to us. Verse 24. Wherefore, the law was our. Wasn't your schoolmaster. You never were in that class. You had no class. Y'all there? You see, you had no class? Y'all never saw Rodney Dangerfield's movie, Back to School? Yeah. Yo, Rodney, don't get no respect. He's 60-something years old, goes back to school, and boy, he got this hot blonde there, and she's in school, and he goes up to her, hey, baby, he said, how about we go out Friday night? She goes, I've got class. Oh, class, okay. How about Saturday night? We go out Saturday night. That's good? No, I've got class. Oh, class, okay. Sunday, how about Sunday? We go out Sunday. No, I've got class. Class on Sunday. Well, how about you call me when you got no class? You say no class? Yeah.
Who will pay?
Oh, you will pay. Schoolmaster is a teacher, an instructor. We weren't in class because we got no class. You see the connection there? See, y'all come to Bible study and get a little humor thrown in for free and... Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we, us Jews, might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we, the Jews, are no longer under schoolmaster if they believe by faith. Because they had a whole different bunch of Jews there that were keeping the law. Not the believers, a whole existence of Jews that were keeping the law. And that's the ones that came in and turn the believing Jews back to the law. If the Jew believed, they're not under a schoolmaster. Verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. All you Jews, by faith in Christ Jesus, are the children of God. That's how you become the child of God. Not another father, the devil.
You become a child of God. The God of who? Abraham. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, you Jews, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. He's not telling Gentiles who have trusted in Christ that if you believe in Christ, you are Abraham's seed. How would that work? How does that work? How would you as a Gentile, by believing in Christ, become the seed of Abraham? It's a fleshly reproductive thing. The only ones that could be accounted of that are those that are the seed of Abraham that believe by faith. Those that are the seed of Abraham that walk in the flesh, here's your example. That wasn't the child of God. Abraham wasn't his father. You do the works of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and is today. They do that work. What was Saul doing before he became Paul? Killing. He wasn't a child of Abraham. He was of the seed by birth. He didn't become a child of Abraham till after he believed. And by faith, he became the child of Abraham. He became Abraham's seed. It doesn't go, folks, you can't take a Gentile and just go, well, he's Abraham's seed. It can't happen. It can't happen. Because you know what this leads to? There's a bigger teaching from this. You got it. You're spiritual Israel. It don't exist. You can't find it in the Bible. But there's a whole group of good folks out there that believe we're spiritual Israel? Really? Seriously? It's Gentiles. He's addressing, though, in the writing to the Galatians, he's addressing Jews and showing them by faith in Christ, they are now incorporated into being the seed of Abraham. I mean, why? Tell me this. Tell me this. John. John chapter 8. We read it. Who's he talking to there? Jews, right? Paul. Who's he talking to there? Galatians. Jews. What's the difference from these Jews and these Jews? Because I can tell you this. He told these Jews, God is not your father. Abraham's not your father, even though they were the seed. Because the first thing he said, I know that you're are Abraham's seed. But then he says, Abraham isn't your father. The devil is. Well, I'll tell you what the difference is. These are of faith. And those Jews, which be of faith, they are the seed of Abraham. That's the difference. Then if a Jew, by believing, becomes a seed of Abraham, is he a spiritual Jew? If he's a spiritual Jew, then I guess we could be spiritual Israel. He's not a spiritual Jew. So, and then Paul says, hey, we got a body, and it's made up of variables, made up of male, female, bond free, Jew and Gentile. He's telling the Jews this. And so he tells the Jews, so then ye which be of faith, you are the seed of Abraham. If you read it in that context, it makes sense. But if you do this, verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. And you preach a message, and they do it all the time, like I said earlier. If you preach a message that there was a time when we were under the law, and you just go with it, you're incorrect. And you're incorrect there, you're incorrect at the next verse, you're incorrect at the next verse, and everything becomes incorrect. A guy, I'll speak generally here, on Facebook got into this exchange with someone and quoted some of these verses here and implied, and this is what he did now, if this don't sound familiar, by making that connection, he, because now he believes we Gentiles are the seed of Abraham, so he goes back to Abraham and all the blessings there and says, those are our blessings. I didn't want to get in it because I'm going to tell you now, you don't solve nothing on Facebook. You don't come to a conclusion. It's a horrible tool to teach. All you do is bicker, argue, while people overtalk you, and you can't do it. But this is what I wanted to tell him. Go back there in Genesis 17, where God said, I will give you to Abraham and all your seed, all the land of Canaan. So if you're part of Abraham's seed, then why don't you buy an airplane ticket, fly over there, and do like the Oklahoma Sooners, and tap out your property over there, and see how that works for you. Somebody's going to come over there and kill you. Go ahead. I mean, if that's your inheritance, because you're the seed of Abraham, go ahead and claim it now. I mean, why wouldn't you? If it is your inheritance. Hey, I claim eternal life. You know why? I got it. I claim a heavenly position. You know why? I'm already there in Christ. If he's going to claim that, then go get it. Fly over there. Just land, walk out there in the land, go, this is sweet, I want this. And wait till the landowner catches you. I mean, come on, if they're there, then claim. You're going to claim them? Then claim them. Don't tell me. Don't go telling people you're of the seed of Abraham and the promises granted to Abraham come to you because you're the seed. If that's true, then go get your land. We are part of the body. We are not a seed. We are spiritually baptized into this body. We make up a body. We're not reproducing believers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, in the body. We're preaching the gospel. And those that believe are part of the body. And this body has all of its... I'm not going to tell you that. Go to Ephesians and we'll close here. Go to Ephesians. We're going to close with this. If Abraham and the promises back here to Abraham and his life apply to us because we're the seed of Abraham, if it's going to apply, then I'm going to read it that way. We're just going to jump around here. Ephesians chapter 1. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Abraham to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Look down in verse 10. That in dispensation of fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Abraham. Verse 12. That we should be in praise of his glory. He first trusted in Abraham. Go to chapter 2. God who is rich, verse 4. The God who is rich in mercy for his great love, whether he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Abraham. And hath raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Abraham. If you've got all of Abraham's blessings, then how do you incorporate these that we have in Christ? You don't have the blessings of Abraham. You know what you got? Look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In who? Then your blessings are in who? Christ. Every blessing you have is in Christ. It's nothing in Abraham. That's why in Genesis 17, property is granted to Abraham. You can't go over here and claim that. Paul had to tell these Jews that believed, for our conversation is in heaven. The word conversation is so interesting. You tell where people are from based on their words. It has to do with citizenship. Our conversation is in heaven. We're seated up there. We look for the Lord to appear. We look for the Lord to catch us out. We look for the Lord to take us up. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We have a different inheritance. So don't tell people you're the seed of Abraham, you've got the blessings of Abraham, because you don't. You got the blessings that come in Christ, and only in him. He only used Abraham as an example to show these Jews who quite easily understood a thing or two about Abraham. He showed these Jews how they, by faith in Christ, were made righteous by using Abraham, who believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's the reason why he went back to Abraham. Not for us to study it and go back there and incorporate Abraham's life in ours and believe what Abraham has, we have. What Abraham was promised, we are promised. No, doesn't happen that way because it's not that way. So, anyhow, okay, I'm done.